For those who engage in any form of ministry, any form of Christian leadership, Paul says, be careful how you build the church. We need to take care how we build. We need to be careful in the work of ministry. We need to be sure that we are using only the best materials.
Welcome to Encounter the Truth with Jonathan Griffiths. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today. And Jonathan, when you talk about taking care of gospel work, because the implications are so significant, what does it mean to take care of gospel work, and what are those implications?
Well, the Apostle Paul here in the passage that we're going to spend some time in together today, he's using the imagery of building when talking about building the church, but the imagery of a physical building. And he says, look, you can either build it with high quality materials and build it carefully, or you can build it with cheap materials and build it carelessly. And over time, you're going to see how the building weathers. Over time, you're going to see the results of that. And the truth of how you've built is going to be revealed. And Paul says it's like that with the church. You know, the only foundation is Jesus Christ. And the high quality materials it's the proclamation of Jesus Christ and his cross. It's the teaching of the word of Jesus Christ. And if that's done carefully and faithfully and consistently and well, if the teachers and leaders are doing that carefully, the building is going to be built well, and it's going to weather the storms. It's going to weather even into eternity. And he says to the teacher, be careful how you build. Be careful that you're using the right material. You're proclaiming Jesus Christ and him crucified. You're building with the word of God. And if you do that, you're going to see a structure that survives even into eternity.
Well, let's look at that passage that you were referencing. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 10 to 23. If you have a Bible nearby, hope you'll take that Bible and join us there as we continue our message, Ministry That Builds the Church. Here is Jonathan.
In your workplace, in your profession, I wonder what are the ramifications and the implications of shoddy work. I mean, I wonder what happens if you do something poorly, or you use low-quality equipment or materials in your work. We have some surgeons among us here. I think you would say that the implications of doing shoddy work are pretty dramatic in your field if you are a surgeon. We have some civil engineers in our midst. I think we all care that the bridges we drive over are put together properly, made with good materials. We have some among us who work in the aerospace industry. I think we would all agree that we care that the engineers and the manufacturers of the planes we fly in across the ocean, that they're on their game, that they are taking every precaution, are using only the best materials. We have some among us who are in the food services industry. It matters that you are taking every precaution for hygiene, good kitchen practices, proper storage and refrigeration. If you don't do that, people fall ill. For those who engage in any form of ministry, any form of Christian leadership, Paul says, be careful how you build the church. Take care in your gospel work. The implications are significant, more significant perhaps than you ever realized. We need to take care how we build. We need to be careful in the work of ministry. We need to apply our best efforts to it, our best energy, our best praying, our most careful work, and we need to be sure that we are using only the best materials. You see, it's possible when building to opt for cheap materials. I mentioned the other day I was working on a little project at home. I decided that I would retile a couple of sections of flooring on our main floor in our house, primarily just the entranceway as you come in. This was a very bold and an uneducated decision. Uneducated for someone who has never laid down a tile in his life to try and do this. But, you know, once you start smashing up the old tiles, you're kind of committed. You know, you need to carry through at that stage. Well, thinking that it would be good, as I normally do think, that, you know, to do this as cheaply as possible, I went to the big box home improvement store, and I saw piles of inexpensive tiles all stacked on the floor, and I did the math, and I figured we could have this job done for almost no money, and you know the tiles, they would be okay. They would be fine. But Gemma pointed out that if you're going to do all the work of smashing up the old tile and laying down new tile, you probably want to put down some flooring that you'd actually want to look at, you know, some flooring of decent quality. Going cheap on the new flooring won't be a decision that's going to wear well in the long run. You're going to want to smash it up again before too long. As an older man once said to me when I was trying to save money on something and I was clearly being a bit stupid about it, here's the saying, some savings are not really a saving. That's a truism. Sometimes trying to save something now costs you more in the future. When it comes to gospel work, we do have a choice of materials to use, and we need to choose carefully. We need to be discerning. You see, we could take a very good foundation and then lay cheap materials on top of it. But what a mistake that would be, verse 12. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest. Wood may have its uses in a building, but hay and straw, you're not building a temple or a house with that. You are setting up a bonfire. I wonder if you've ever seen gospel ministry done with cheap materials that won't last. A teacher speaks to a people who had a good gospel foundation. A new pastor comes along, and he's full of messages of self-help, a bit of fluffy entertainment, jokes and anecdotes, worldly wisdom perhaps, but little more than that. And over time, the building is raised on hay and on straw, and you know that the slightest breeze of difficulty or opposition will blow the whole thing down. There is nothing solid about it, nothing that will stand the test of time. Have you ever seen that happen in a ministry, in a church? Be careful. It's tempting to build with the cheap materials. It might be easier. It probably is. Less effort. It might look like progress is happening more quickly. There's more of an initial response to ministry that's really just entertainment. People like that for a short period of time. But there's no future in it. No. Steer clear of that. Focus on the good stuff. Use only the best lasting materials, gold, silver, precious stones. Now, I think we would agree that that sounds wise in principle, but here's the question. What actually is the gold, the silver, the precious stones? What is Paul actually referring to here? Well, isn't it the same material that the foundation was made of? Verse 11, the foundation of Jesus Christ himself. Isn't that how Paul built? Isn't that the only material he used? Chapter 2 and verse 2, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, that is the only material of quality and of worth with which to build the church. The message of Jesus Christ and him crucified, the message of the gospel, the message of the Bible, that's the gold, that's the silver, that's the precious stones. Anything else? Hay and straw. Now, again, we need to be convinced and reconvinced that this is actually true. We need to be reminded that the only building work that is worth anything in the kingdom of God is building work undertaken with the gospel through the ministry of the word. If we want our labor in the kingdom to stand the test of time and to have real value, we need to speak of Jesus Christ and of him crucified. We need to proclaim the word of God and teach the word of God. We need to get that truth into hearts and into lives. We need to see people come to living faith in Jesus Christ, to know him, to love him, to walk with him, to make him known. That is what it is to build with quality materials, to invest in the future with something solid and good and actually worthwhile. You see, we can busy ourselves with activity in the name of ministry. We can entertain people. We can keep them busy. We can generate a little buzz of community. We can do some kindly social work in the community. But if we are not getting the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified into hearts and into lives, we're not building anything. We're not building anything solid that's going to stand the test of time and of eternity. We've thought of the image of poorly built buildings crumbling and aging badly. But I think we've also all seen and experienced buildings built well and standing the test of time. I think of visiting French chateaux in the Loire Valley, still beautiful today as the day they were built because the craftsmanship and the materials were superb. I think of visiting English cathedrals like St. Paul's or Westminster Abbey, still glorious in their structure and their details because care was taken and only the best materials were used. The finest skilled laborers were employed. We took our kids to visit Oxford some months ago. Jem and I had studied there and we met there, but the children hadn't really seen it. And we walked the streets and we visited some of the landmarks in the colleges. We took them to see Christchurch College, a college famous for its grandeur, its extraordinary dining hall and grand quadrangles and so on. Construction began in the 16th century, and the buildings today look as beautiful as they must have looked when first built. Only the finest materials used. Friends, we want our work in ministry to stand the test of time.
You're listening to Encounter the Truth with Jonathan Griffiths, a message called Ministry That Builds the Church. Now, we're going to pause here for just a moment, but stay with us. We'll get back to the message in a moment. If it's been a minute since you've been to the website, hope you'll take a little time and visit. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can check out our weekly e-devotional and find links there to social media. And if you want to connect with even more of Jonathan's teaching, I hope you'll check out our YouTube channel. On YouTube, you can not only listen to, but also watch Jonathan's teaching. And if you like and subscribe, you're going to be updated anytime we post new content on there. So again, if you're on YouTube, look for Encounter the Truth and make sure you like and subscribe. Well, if you joined us late, we're in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, looking at verses 10 to 23. So let's get back to the message. Again, here is Jonathan.
Friends, we want our work in ministry to stand the test of time. And we're mindful that the quality of our work will be evaluated and revealed in due course. There's a sobering note here that Paul draws out, and we need to be mindful of this, verse 12. Notice it there with me. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. The coming day of judgment will ultimately show the quality of our work because the judgment will disclose whether the people under our care and within the scope of our ministry actually know the gospel. That's what's going to be revealed. Were they part of the true building, the temple of God, that is, the church of Jesus Christ, they may have participated in engaging events with us, they may have enjoyed being part of our community, but did they hear the gospel? Did they hear of Christ and him crucified? Were they called to repent of sin? Were they invited to find forgiveness through his shed blood, through his death in our place? Were they exhorted to respond to the gospel? You see, we can do all sorts of very nice things for people in the name of ministry, but if we are not preparing them for the coming judgment through presenting Jesus Christ and him crucified to them, we are giving them a flimsy shed for shelter in the face of a coming firestorm. And when the fire comes, the structure will be worthless, and the storm of judgment will consume them. We're seeing, aren't we, many images of fires these days, wildfires that are out of control in different parts of the world. Paul, in verse 13, describes the coming judgment of God as a fire. There's lots of discussion now, isn't there, about building structures to be fire-resistant, fire-proof in these fire-vulnerable regions of the world. Well, I'll tell you what's not fire-resistant. Wood, hay, and straw. Not fire-resistant. When the fire of judgment comes, what will stand? What will endure? Only material of true quality, only the gospel. And so for the gospel worker here, for the Christian leader especially, for you and for me as we engage in gospel ministry, there is a day that is coming that will reveal the quality of our work, and it could be a day of some embarrassment if we're not careful now. Or it could be a day of great joy, verse 14. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. The prospect of a looming evaluation always serves, doesn't it, to focus the mind? I remember in my teaching days when we knew that a government inspection was looming for the school, everyone was on high alert. The quality of your lesson planning and your record keeping, it suddenly mattered in a more urgent way. When our kids have a test at school looming, It has to be totally silent in the car on the way into school. No music, no conversation, total focus. Nothing else matters that morning, the morning of a test. Paul wants us to know that God will indeed evaluate our ministry at the final day. For the believer, salvation is not at issue here. It's not a question of us losing out on salvation if our ministry has been of poor quality. The believer is secure. Our salvation is in no way grounded on our performance. But at the final day, at the judgment seat of Christ, we might experience the regret and embarrassment of seeing our efforts burned up. There will be reward if our efforts were built with the gospel and the work survives and the work endures. It may simply be that we experience the reward of the joy of that, of seeing people in the kingdom of God with us because of our ministry, the joy of God's commendation of our labors, his well done, good and faithful servant. It may be the reward of further responsibility within the kingdom. Paul doesn't say here, but there will be reward and there will also be disappointment depending on the quality of the work. Now, I don't know about you, but I find that very, very sobering to think about. I find it focuses my mind when I think about gospel ministry, and it makes me want to ensure all the more that I'm building well, that I'm using the right material, investing for the future. Paul's focus here is no doubt on Christian leaders, pastors, teachers. That's his main focus. But I think it's important to say here that if we belong to Jesus Christ, all of us are involved in ministry. You see, we each have opportunity and we each have responsibility to witness to the Savior, to those around us, to our family, our colleagues, our friends, our neighbors. We are all involved in the building project of God, the construction of his building, his church, his people. So with that in mind, let me ask you, are you taking care? Are you being careful how you build? Are you mindful of using only the finest materials, only the apostolic word, only the scriptures, only the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified? Friends, let's build carefully. Let's build well with the word of God, the gospel. Let's build for time and let's build for eternity, mindful that our contribution will be evaluated at the final day. God's great building has one foundation. It must be built with care. And finally, as we close now, God's great building is precious to him. Verse 16. Do you know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is holy and you are that temple. If we had wondered what building Paul might have had in mind in his mind's eye when he used the image of building for the work of ministry, we now know he was picturing actually the temple of God. And of course, when we think of the precious materials that Paul listed earlier, that reminds us, of course, of the precious materials used in building the temple of Solomon's temple at an earlier stage of Israel's history. But now Paul says God's temple, his dwelling place, is not a physical structure. It's you. It's his saved people. It's his church. That's where God dwells on earth. That's the building project in which we are engaged. And this building project, it matters deeply to God. As with any owner, any builder, pouring himself into a grand project, God himself cares deeply about his building. He is protective of it. It matters to him. He cares that it is built properly and well. He is personally invested. And should anyone threaten God's building, he will bring judgment upon them. Paul has just spoken of how teachers will be evaluated. Salvation there was not at issue. True believers who teach in the church, they need not fear losing their salvation. But those who would seek to destroy his church, well, that's another matter. And here Paul is taking us right back to the issue that's been lingering since the start of the letter in which he returns to now, the issue of stirring up division within the church of Jesus Christ, dividing into factions, forming cliques around certain leaders. That issue, it's been on the radar right since the start of the letter, and Paul hasn't forgotten about it. He hasn't set it aside. Seeing how precious the church is to God the Father, Paul wants to emphasize again how serious the issue of destroying and tearing apart the church is. The one who would destroy the building of God through stirring up division, that one will prove they are truly not of the faith and will face the judgment of God. Paul, Apollos, Cephas, they've sought to build the church, but those stirring up divisions are actually tearing it down. And we don't know all the details of everything that was taking place there, but the warning is serious. Some at Corinth were seeking human wisdom, the world's wisdom. And as they sought the world's wisdom, they were disparaging Paul and the others who didn't satisfy their appetites for that teaching. Rather than uniting around the gospel, factions were forming. The church was dividing. If the proclamation of Christ crucified will build up the church, this kind of silliness will tear it down. And Paul wants to stamp that out, verse 18. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you thinks that he is wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is folly with God, for it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. So let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or the present or the future, all are yours and you are Christ's and Christ is God's. Don't get caught up in the empty pursuit of human wisdom, in the factions and in the divisions, in the fighting, in the personality cults. If anyone is seeking human wisdom, they need to learn again the wisdom of God in the gospel. As believers, all things are yours. You know, you're in a position of such privilege. You belong to Jesus Christ, says Paul, and Jesus Christ belongs to the Father. God the Father is committed to you, deeply committed to you. He's given the foundation, his own Son. He's protecting you, and he will judge any who would destroy you. As his people, his church, his children, you have security in him for time and for eternity. How is the church built? What kind of ministry builds the church? It's built on one foundation of Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's built with care. Only the finest materials may be used, only the word of God, only the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is all built under the watchful eye of the Father, to whom the church is precious, to whom you and I matter more than we will ever fully know. Friends, how privileged we are to be this building, the temple of the living God. And how careful we must be to guard it from division and to build it in faithfulness and in integrity.
Jonathan Griffiths here on Encounter the Truth, wrapping up our message, Ministry That Builds the Church. The final message in our series, A Messy Church and a Majestic Gospel. And if you missed any of the broadcasts in the series, come and listen online. Our website is encounterthetruth.org. There you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's at encounterthetruth.org. Well, Encounter the Truth is a listener-supported ministry. We're able to be on the station, able to bring you Jonathan's teaching because of your financial generosity. And as you send a gift of any amount this month, we want to say thank you by sending you a book called Being There. It's all about how to love those who are hurting, because Jonathan, I'm going to guess that we have many people listening who have someone in their life who is hurting, and they're not exactly sure how to help.
Well, that's right, Steve. So often we can find ourselves in a situation where a loved one is hurting, a loved one is going through a season of acute need, and we want to know how we can be of help. And it's not always straightforward to know how to help and to help well. Dave Furman, the author of this book, Being There, writes from a unique perspective. He actually serves as a pastor in the Middle East. But 10 years ago, Dave developed a nerve disease and struggles with chronic pain and weakness in both arms. And he writes from the perspective of having received help and encouragement from loved ones. And he has deep reflections on what it looks like to give that help and to do so sustainably. And we just think this resource will be a tremendous encouragement to those who are walking through a situation like that and seeking to be a help and a blessing to loved ones in need. So we'd love to get this book into your hands, and we trust that you'll be encouraged by it.
Well, we'd love to send you a copy of this book. Again, it is called Being There, How to Love Those Who Are Hurting, our way of saying thank you for your financial support. You can give a gift online at encounterthetruth.org or over the phone when you call us at 1-833-99-TRUTH. That's 1-833-998-7884. Or again, our website is encounterthetruth.org. You can also write us at Encounter the Truth, 2176 Prince of Wales Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2E0A1. Or in the U.S. at Encounter the Truth, 215 North Arlington Heights Road, number 102, Arlington Heights, Illinois, 60004. For Jonathan Griffiths, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time.